Praise the Lord. How many of you have ever gotten cut? I remember a few years back, Casey got cut, and he's coming in, blood's gushing out, you know, and all this stuff, and bright red liquid's filling the place, you know, as it comes out, and you've seen it flowing out. Or maybe you've been to the doctor. How many of you here been to the doctor? Yeah, I think about everybody here has been to the doctor sometime. And have they ever come in and they stuck a needle in a vein and they pulled some stuff out, red in color, it may look kind of darkish red in that vial as it comes out. And they take it off somewhere, and it gets stuck in a machine, and it gets shook up and all this stuff, and then it prints out some stuff, and they come back and say, well, according to your blood test, you've got this, this, or this wrong with you. And they look at it, and they say, okay, well, we took a blood test, and your cholesterol's high. You can't eat fatty foods anymore. Or they take a blood test, you've got diabetes, your sugar level's off. Or they take a blood test and you've got this, that, or the other wrong with you. Well, there's a lot of things about the blood. Blood is something we all have in common. Every one of us. I don't care who you are, rich, poor, what your color is. When they cut you, you bleed. And I don't care what the people in Knoxville say. Your blood does not come out orange. It's red. I remember when I moved to Tennessee, I had people that were Vols fans, and they said, you cut me, I bleed orange. I'm sorry, we all bleed red. I don't care who you are. So the something that we all have in common, we've all got blood flowing through our veins. You know, I looked up the definition of blood and the dictionary to see what it had to say. And there's several different things that the English word blood can mean besides what's flowing through your veins, but it still has to do with the same thing. Number one, it said the shedding of blood resulting in murder, the avenged blood of his kinsman. It can be the temperament or disposition of a person. You ever hear about a person of hot blood? Oh, they're such a hot-blooded person, man. They fly off the handle at ever the least little thing, you know. You yell boo at them, and I mean, they get beat red and fly off the handle, you know. And or you got cold blood. That's the person that does things cold and calculating. The person that could come up and stab you in the back and not think twice about it. And I'm sure we've all run into somebody like that at one time or another, too. And you hear the term, they were a cold-blooded killer. Of course, it's the fluid that is pumped by the heart. It carries the oxygen and nutrients to the tissues and carries away waste products. And the ancients believed the blood was the seat of the emotions. People are also viewed as members of a group. We need more young blood in this organization. And sometimes, maybe in some churches where, have you ever noticed certain churches, and you probably have all seen this, churches started out many years ago, and as time goes on, the congregation ages. And pretty soon, you've got everybody in there senior citizens. I tried out for a church one time, and I was probably 30-some years younger than the youngest member of the congregation. Everybody but one was on Social Security. And they needed some more young blood in that church. And they thought I was too young. So they got somebody a few years older than me who brought some young blood into the church. So we hear about that. Or it's the descendants of one individual. You know, their entire lineage has been warriors, as the examples are given. Their entire lineage has done this or that. Or we talk about, of course we hear about the blue bloods, you know, but that doesn't refer about the color that's pumping through their veins. They're the royalty or the supposed upper class in certain countries. But they still bleed the same red color as we all do. The Bible speaks a lot about blood. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and God has given Moses the Ten Commandments, And they're sitting there, they've crossed over the Red Sea, and they're in a spot for a while, and God is speaking to them. And he's giving them basically the rules and regulations that they're to live by. And he speaks to Moses. And I want to read these words here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. That phrase occurs almost 100 times in the Pentateuch. Think about it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Now, I think if God spake unto Moses, saying that many times, it was something that was important that had to be passed on from generation to generation. Things that he wanted them to do and the way that they were to live. Well, in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, he speaks this. He says, for the life of a creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for yourselves, for it is the blood that makes atonements because of the life. He's saying here, the blood is what makes atonement. It is what gives you forgiveness of sin. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about the blood here because, you know, the first implication of the shedding of blood because of sin goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the very first chapters, I believe it's chapter 3. And although it does not specifically say that blood was shed, the implication is there because in chapter 3, verse 21, it says, Adonai, God, made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now, for him to have done this, an animal had to have had its blood shed. It had to have had its life sacrificed that God could do this. It is also implicated in chapter 4 when Abel brings his sacrifice, that he offered a sacrifice before God. And if you recall the story, when Abel brought his sacrifice and he offered it before God, it was the firstlings of his flock. And his brother Cain brought the vegetables from his garden, so to speak. And Abel's sacrifice, the Bible tells us, was acceptable to God, whereas the vegetables from Cain's garden were not acceptable. And we continue on as we read about this throughout various chapters and verses in the Bible. And again, after the flood, God speaks to Noah, and he says in Genesis chapter 9, verses 3 through 5, every moving thing that lives will be food for you. Just as I gave you green plants before, so now I give you everything. Only flesh with its life, which is the blood, you are not to eat. I will certainly demand accounting for the blood of your lives, and I will demand it from every animal and from every human being. I will demand from every human being an accounting for the life of his fellow human beings. God has made it very plain throughout the entire Torah, or through the Tanakh, as they call the rest of the books in the what we refer to as the Old Testament, and also throughout the New Testament and the New Covenant, about the shedding of blood. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, in fact, according to the Torah, almost everything is purified with blood. Indeed, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. No forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Now you recall back in the Old Testament times, we're referring to there was always the sacrifice that was made upon the altar at the temple. That is how they came for atonement of their sins. And they came on an annual basis that the sacrifice would be made, that they would have atonement for their sin. Think back when the children of Israel were getting ready to leave Egypt. All the plagues had taken place. And I'll tell you quite honestly, I wouldn't want to have to go through even one of those plagues that God put upon the Egyptians. But now we got down to the last plague here. And God has spoken to Moses and said, you tell them to get a lamb. And you're going to take the blood from that lamb. And you're going to put it upon the doorposts of your house. And tonight, the death angel is going to walk through. And if there's no blood upon the doorpost of a house, the firstborn of the family, the firstborn of the flocks, the firstborn of everything is going to be slain. Their life is going to be taken. Can you imagine that when morning came, a lot of folks among the Egyptian woke up, and in some houses, some households, it was very quite possible that every person in that household was dead. Because the husband might have been the firstborn, the wife might have been the firstborn, and they might have only had one child. Can you think about it? Other households, they woke up and the children were orphans. Some, they woke up, one parent or the other was gone because they were slain. But those who had the blood that was making the atonement right there, it was showing this person has been atoned for. Their life is not to be taken. And the death angel passed by. They woke up in the morning, their household was intact. The mama could have been the firstborn, the daddy could have been the firstborn. They could have had one child and they were the firstborn, and they were all there. Because the blood had atoned for their lives. So there's been that atonement for sin. God stresses this so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, that he would die on the cross of Calvary, that we could have atonement for our sins. His blood was to be shed for the atonement of our sins. The Bible tells us in that very familiar scripture, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life." Because his blood was shed upon the cross of Calvary, we can have forgiveness of our sin. And I've got news for you. Every last human being that's ever been born has got sin in their life. Adam and Eve were created without sin. But because of their listening to what the devil had to say and disobeying God, sin entered into the world. And their children, and every person from that time on down to today, is born in sin. The Bible tells us we're born in sin. We're conceived in iniquity. Sin is in us, irregardless of how great or nice a person we are. And I've met some people that were not Christians who were wonderful people. They were nice. They were caring. They were compassionate. But they were still a sinner because it was in the nature. We are born with that sin nature. But God said there is a way. There is that way. And first it was through the sacrifice of animals that the atonement was done when the blood was put upon the altar. But then he sent his son Jesus Christ, who would give his life on Calvary that we could have atonement for our sins once and for all. He doesn't have to come back and be crucified time after time after time because his blood washed it away if we accept it. The problem is not everyone wants to accept it. Not everyone wants to say, well, we have to have the blood to get into heaven. Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes to the Hebrews, "But this one, after he had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus offered the sacrifice for your sin once and for all. We don't have to go through the process over and over as long as we keep our hearts right before God. And if we do something that's wrong, we ask God for forgiveness. Our sin has been forgiven. Now, I know there's some that teach out there that you can say, Jesus, come into my heart, take away my sins, and then you can go out and live however you want to. But that's not what the Bible teaches. We are to walk right before God. He has put us in right standing, and we are to stay in right standing before God. We are to keep our hearts pure. And I know the devil comes along and he throws obstacles and things in our path that causes us to sometimes do things we should not do. But when we get down and say, God, forgive me, he will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, the Bible tells us. But it's all because of the blood. It's because of the blood of Jesus. Without blood, there is no life. And without blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. Absolutely no sacrifice for sin. And I don't care what some people are out there teaching today that are false prophets with false doctrine that are saying everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to stand before a judgment seat at one time or another. That's true. Those of us who are Christians are going to stand before the judgment for our rewards. But those who have never accepted Jesus Christ, they're going to stand before God someday, and they are going to be judged on their sins. The Bible's very plain about that. We'll all face God one way or another someday. But what about the church today? The church in many places seems to be afraid of the word blood. We don't want to sing songs about the blood because it's yucky. It's gross. It's messy. Some people say, well, it makes it a bloody religion. Remember, we used to sing songs like the one written by Robert Lowry, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And we sang like, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I got news for you, the words of that song are true. Nothing can wash away our sins except the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Are we saying songs like the one written by Andre Crouch? The blood will never lose its power. And it says this words in the first verse here, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. And it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Or there were songs such as Power in the Blood. There's power in the blood, wonder-working power. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. I'll tell you, there is power in the blood. It is the blood of Jesus that works in our lives. How many of you have ever, when you were facing a crisis, and I'm talking about a crisis where maybe your life was in peril even, and you said, I plead the blood of Jesus over this. And did you see something happen? I've got news for you. Every time we have tornado warnings, I pray over our household, I pray over your households, that God would protect you. And I plead the blood of Jesus over your houses and over your property. And God has protected us. Now, has there ever been damage done at my house? Yes, there has. But God always worked it to my benefit when damage was done. Because there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. I saw in California when we were living there in a high wind area, and I'm talking winds that were consistent at 90 to 100 miles an hour for days, not just for 15, 20 minutes, but for days, and saw houses that were built to withstand those type winds being destroyed, damage to their roofs, windows blown out. And God would protect our house. Yes, we had some damage once, but God protected us as a whole, and it was not damage that couldn't easily be repaired. Because God was there. He was protecting us. You're going down the highway and you see something that's going to happen and you plead the blood of Jesus over it. You need the blood of Jesus covering your life every day as you walk, no matter where you go. You need the blood of Jesus covering your life. If you have the church, that church that's called by His name, Christian, the anointed ones, it's what it really means. The anointed ones. We don't sometimes want anything to do with the blood. Keep it out of the service. Don't sing about it. Don't talk about it. Don't preach about it. But I've got news. When we take it out, we take out the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was His blood that was shed for us. And if we didn't have that, then we have nothing. And I'm afraid that's what's wrong with some churches today. They have nothing. Oh, we'd like to sing some cute little songs sometimes. We've never sang this one in this church. And I have a feeling if we did, somebody else would be picking the songs after that. But I remember, and I thought about it, and as I heard it, and I thought that I was filling in for the pastor, and the song was sang and as a special. And I knew that pastor had known that that song was sang as a special. He'd had a conniption. Cute little song. Probably most here have heard it. By a young lady sang it. I don't remember who wrote it for sure. Tried to find out, but it just mentioned her name, and her name was Debbie Boone. And it was under One Hit Wonders. You light up my life. And how many times I've heard "You Light Up My Life" sung in church. Oh, it's a Christian song. But have you ever really listened to the words? I don't want to read all the words to you, but I want to read just one line here, basically. It can't be wrong when it feels so right, because you light up my life. If it feels good, then do it. It's got to be okay if it feels good. And that seems to be the attitude of a lot of people today. If it feels okay, then do it. And that's how we've gotten ourselves into the mess that we're in today as a people and as a world. Because we have went by how we feel. If it feels okay, do it. Sometimes things that you are supposed to do and need to do necessarily may not feel good. Sometimes if you have to take care of yourself. And I'm thinking about Steve out here. I'm sure he doesn't particularly feel necessarily good about having to drag around an oxygen tank now. Wouldn't make me feel good to have to do it. But he knows that he has to do it if he wants to live. So just because it feels good doesn't mean it's good for us. It doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And sometimes as a Christian, you're going to have to do some things and take some stands that you don't necessarily want to have to do, but you do it because you know that's what you need to do. Because it's what the Word of God says you need to do. We don't need to go by what the Word of somebody else says, but by what the Word of God says. And He says it's the blood that works in our life. Jesus gave His life. No man took it from him. You say, but yeah, the soldiers, man, they had him surrounded. They drug him down to there and they nailed him to that cross, man. He couldn't have got away. He was outnumbered. After all, we read about how he fell beneath the load, you know, and all this stuff. At least we hear that in the song, you know. They got somebody else to carry the cross for him. He couldn't have got away. That's what a lot of people think. All he'd had to have done was said the word. And they'd have been wiped out. All he'd had to have done in the garden was said the word. And those soldiers would have ceased to exist. But he freely gave his life, was nailed to that cross. His blood was shed. And it didn't start being shed just on the cross. It was when they began to beat him with those cat of nine tails and those various things they beat him with. His blood oozed from his body. It says he was beaten to the point that he was unrecognizable. He gave his life for us. And it's his blood that made atonement for our sins. So I don't care if you think it's bloody. I don't care if you think it's messy. I don't care if you think it's gross. It's what the Word of God says it was. And that's what I'm going to go by. And that's what I'm going to believe. His blood needs to be shared with the world today. You can light up your life all you want to, but it's not going to get you to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus. If you ain't got the blood, then I wonder if you've got Jesus. Now I know some that may be listening to me might not like what I've said. But I'll tell you this, and it comes basic phraseology from another song. I've come too far in this journey to turn back now. I know it's the blood of Jesus that's got me where I'm at. And I know it's the blood of Jesus that's going to take me through. I know it's the blood of Jesus that's going to open wide the pearly gates for me. It's the blood of Jesus that when I stand before God, I'm going to stand before Him with my sins forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. And nothing else. And if you're listening to me today and you have not accepted the blood of Jesus in your life, you have not accepted what He did for you on the cross of Calvary, you've never let His blood wash away your sins. Today is the day. How do I know today is the day? Because the Bible says it is. It says this is the day of salvation. And if you will call out to Him and say, Father, I accept what your Son, Jesus, did for me on the cross of Calvary. I accept that His blood was shed for me. And I now give my life. I surrender to You. Come into my heart and wash away my sins. He'll do it. And I don't care how good you were or how rotten you are. I don't care if you're out there listening to me somewhere and you've committed murder. God can still forgive you if you'll let Him. That's the great thing. He can forgive those sins in your life. He'll come into your heart. And then someday when you have to stand before Him, and you will someday, you can stand and let Him welcome you into the kingdom. Or if you've not accepted Him, you can have Him say, Depart. I never knew you. The choice is yours. I can't make it for you, but the choice is yours. Won't you invite Him into your heart today and say, I surrender my life to You. Ask Him to come in. And Father, I pray right now, as this message goes forth, Father, to all who have heard it, Father, if those that are listening that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they have not accepted the blood that was shed for them on the cross of Calvary, that Father, they would invite Jesus into their heart today and say, I surrender my life to You. I accept what You did on the cross of Calvary. That, Father, You would come in and wash away their sins. Make them whole in Jesus' name. And, Father, if there's some pastor out there that's listening to me today and they've been afraid of preaching the blood of Jesus in their church, I pray, Father, that You would speak to their hearts right now. Convict them, Father, that it is only by the blood of Jesus. that we're going to make it to heaven. Speak to those hearts as well, I pray. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.